Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
Love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Now everybody wanna go. Woo! Top 10!
Hello and welcome to Communities Live. I'm Bradley Middleton, and I'm here with
Chris and Ellie,
and Oliver Dixon.
How are you doing, Oliver?
Good, thank you. It's nice to have you back, Chris. After a couple of weeks off, it's nice to see you again.
And how are you, Brad? How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here again.
Good, good.
Always.
It's been a while, hasn't it, since we all weed together now?
I mean,
about two or three weeks. Yeah,
probably more free because it was we had the music guests. That time.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I'm not going to be here again next week, unfortunately.
Everywhere.
I know, I've got, honestly, I've got that many interviews to do. It's unbelievable, mate. I mean,
busy times.
Yeah, and I mean, I do a lot of work interviews at home from on Zoom and YouTube and stuff like that. And honestly, I'm packed with interviews lately. So I'm trying to get them down as soon as I can, really.
Sounds like you're keeping busy.
Always, always busy. But it's hard work, it never ends. So, but how have you been, Brad? So how's your week been?
I've been alright, yeah. I've started a new playthrough of Skyrim again, for like the millionth time.
What do you reckon to, I mean, the spot's been, is it Elder Scrolls 6 or 7, is it? Something like that.
I've heard something's happening for the 6th one.
Yeah.
They are doing something.
They are making a new Elder Scrolls, but it's been nearly 7 years since it's last been announced.
Yeah.
And it's still early in production.
Yeah.
How's that work?
Well, they have been doing like other stuff like Starfield and the Oblivion remaster and stuff, so I guess like...
They did the Skyrim remaster as well, didn't
they?
For the... Was it an anniversary?
Yeah, I think I ended up getting it for the Xbox. Yeah,
I did as well.
Yeah.
I got the Oblivion one as well.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to say, I mean, Starfield, I mean, I played Starfield. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Disappointing. No, I don't know, I was expecting it to be more like a Star Wars kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, probably not with lightsabers or all like that, but like...
Like blasters few, and...
Blasters and stuff, you know, starship fight... starship fighting and stuff like that. There were just little to nothing of that, was there?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really get that far in because I found the space travel a bit confusing. I couldn't work out how to do it. Like, you're travelling between planets and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't work out how to do that, and that kind of put me off it a bit.
It's kind of like, I mean, another one that I could talk about is No Man's Sky.
I've not played that yet.
Now, No Man's Sky, I mean...
I know of it, but I've not played it either.
I keep meaning to.
I mean, it looked great when you see it. Again, it looked great when you see the trailers and the gameplay for it. But when you actually get to play it, it's another disappointment, really.
Yeah.
Because it took so many features out that were supposed to be in the game. I mean, they've updated it now, that so all those features, are back. But I've never actually... And but when you've seen the actual trailer, I mean, and the actual gameplay itself at first, it was more like a beta test rather than a full game.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, I mean, with the Cyberpunk 2077, that was supposed to be one of the top games coming out, and they released it into a buggy mess.
It took years to make as well, didn't it?
Oh, it took years to make, yeah.
It was announced, was it 2012 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And then it came out in
2009, yeah, something like that.
Seven years to develop.
And they said they weren't going to release it until it was done. And they released it in such a shoddy mess. And it was like, it was unplayable. And it must have took them about another 2 years to actually fix the game. And then, but after that, the game was fantastic. So, do you think that games are getting too short a cycle? Or do you think the budget is too much, do you think?
I think the budgets are like huge for games now. I mean, it's hundreds of million, like that's like a film budget.
Yes.
Along those lines. So the budgets are massive now. I mean, they've always been expensive to make games, even going back to like 20th century games, but now they're just
even extortionate, more
expensive. Yeah, they're extortionately priced to make. I mean, I don't know about the main series, so you know, like Call of Duty, Battlefield, Grand Theft Auto. I'm not sure how much they cost to make now.
Well, the last one, if I remember right, the last Call of Duty. I'm not sure whether recent ones, but Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War cost about £800 million to make. And it was only in development for 2 years. Now, it wasn't the best Call of Duty. And I feel like a lot of these games now, budget-wise, are too overpriced.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's always not the best end product either. You spend that much money to make what's meant to be the best possible product. And at times, it never lives up to its expectations.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Spider-Man 2. And I was so looking forward to that one because I'm a massive Spider-Man fan and stuff like that. And the first one was fantastic. Great game, no matter what.
Yep.
And I was so excited when we got to Venom in it.
Yeah.
But, and he was played by the great Tony Todd as well. But, again, it cost about £350 million to make. And your main villain, who was Venom, and Craven had more screen time than Venom did. But Venom was supposed to be the main villain, and he ended up disappointed, really.
He got very little screen time
to say that he was a major villain. And rumour has it that they only used 10% of his work.
And he recorded all those lines.
He must have recorded about 3 or 4 hours worth of work, something like that.
And they used like not even an hour.
No. And then they said like we had to cut like an entire act with the symbiote thing. And I think it was something like, I think the act was called Separation Anxiety, something like that, which is popular among Spider-Man fans because that's what the symbiote arc was called, Separation Anxiety. And they cut the whole act out and they made it a lot shorter. And there were so many plot holes in the story. So many plot holes in the story. And we were expecting like DLC, but there's no DLC ever come out.
Do you think maybe they rushed it a little bit?
I think it was rushed. Yeah. I think it was rushed.
Looked like it.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, I'm saying that it's rushed. I mean, I don't actually know. But it makes you wonder how long it actually needs now to make a AAA game. Because I think a lot of these AAA games now are not worth the budget, unfortunately. Because I mean, it's like Ghost of Yote. I played that one, and that's only came out in October. But it's a story that's already been played before.
Yeah,
we played through it before, just its setting, just the gameplay is better. But gameplay doesn't always make it a better game.
Yeah.
It needs a bit of everything, you know what I mean?
It does.
And I think unfortunately, a lot of these developers now are creatively bankrupt.
I see what you mean.
Because a lot of games now are either going towards remakes, or...
It's the same every year.
It's the same every year, exactly. I mean, how many Souls-like games have there been out since... what's... Dark Souls. How many... You know what I mean? It's like...
It's been a lot. I mean, there's a whole list. I mean, we'd be here for ages going through the whole list, I think.
Yeah.
We'd go beyond the end of the show.
No. But I mean, you could always make new IPs and stuff like that, but it's like, are you going to get the same story that you've had before, or is it going to be something different? You don't know, do we?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Silent Hill. Silent Hill 2. I mean, one of the greatest games ever made for PlayStation 2. And it still is. Still is for the PlayStation 5. But it's on a cheaper budget.
Right.
It's not like a £300-400 million game.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Shall we have a bit of a music break so we can rest your voice?
Yeah, please.
Would you like to introduce the song, Brad? It was featured in a certain teaser trailer the other day, which we might talk about after this. So,
yeah, I've never heard of these, so I'm not really sure how to pronounce the name of the artist.
In Excess.
So this is Never Tear Us Apart.
Make one from empty ears. I told you
Right, and we're back.
So that was Ozzy Osbourne and Shot in the Dark.
It was
INXS that we played earlier.
Yep. Never Tear Us Apart, which was actually featured in the new Toy Story 5 trailer.
Yeah, I've not seen it yet.
No, I have seen the trailer, but I don't know.
It's puzzling because if you look at the thumbnail, like just on YouTube, it's a picture of Woody and Buzz together.
Yeah.
Now, if you've watched Toy Story 4,
yeah.
Woody goes separate.
If you ever spoilers for
spoilers, him. Woody goes separate, and then the rest of them, they go their separate ways. Mm. So what's he doing back?
He left with Bo Peep, and I don't know. I don't know what to make of it because it's like, I mean, do you think it's like the milk in a cash cow now?
Yes, definitely.
I mean, this has got to be their last one.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to be the last one. But then again, Pixar will always come up with anything.
Yeah.
But saying that, there's always going to be a franchise where they always say they're going to make the last one and then it turns out to be another
one.
And then years later, another one. I mean, there's some franchises you need to just let die.
Yeah.
Let die now because it's like, I mean, like with Indiana Jones. I mean, we were talking about it earlier while we were playing the song. And the third film had a perfect ending. Leave it there. You don't need to milk it anymore. And then they made an Indiana Jones 4 and an Indiana Jones 5. And Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it was alright, but it weren't the best.
No.
And we'll not mention Dial of Destiny because I was so disappointed. So disappointed.
I went to the cinema to watch it when it came out.
I've not even seen it at all.
I was looking forward to it because it took years to produce.
Yeah.
I mean, they were filming 2 years prior to, because I think it got delayed and delayed.
And I think that's because of COVID.
Yeah.
COVID didn't help. And it was a lot of it was filmed in the UK.
Yeah.
And we had, as if you remember, we had quite strict pandemic rules.
But do you also feel that Indiana Jones wasn't the main character in that film anymore? It took more. He felt like more of a side character to his goddaughter.
It was like just treating it like, okay, he's old now. He can't be the main character. So yeah, we're going to pave the way for
the next one.
The next one, but didn't really work out with him not being the main, because his name is on the film.
Yes, I mean,
and he's on the posters and everything.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense to why he was sort of the side character rather than the main character.
Well, that's how it felt to me. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but that it focused more on the goddaughter more than him, I thought. But that's my opinion anyway. Mm. But I think the problem with these franchises now is like with Star Wars, I mean, we should have ended it with Episode 6. Leave it there.
Yeah.
It didn't need another three films. And as far as I was concerned, when we made the seventh film, it was a rehash of the New Hope anyway. So,
I mean, I can get why they made the prequels.
But I understand.
But the original, the six, they should have just left it.
Mm.
Because, yeah.
And obviously when the last three were made, George Lucas had already sold Star Wars off to Disney.
Yeah, but we didn't have a plan, did we?
And George Lucas had no involvement whatsoever, apart from the characters he created, which they used. But he had no involvement with directing, producing. He left that all to Disney to do.
But I think even though if he had the original producer for the old films, who made the original films, again, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, the prequels, they weren't the best prequels, were they?
They could have been better.
Yeah.
I find them quite good, but they could have been better.
Yeah.
I mean, the best ones are always going to be the original trilogy.
Yeah.
4 to 6.
Timeless. Absolutely timeless.
And I mean, I've heard rumours as well. I mean, it's like we're Back to the Future. Now, again, great trilogy. You don't need anything changing to it. You don't need to add another film. But a lot of people are clamouring up for another film. And the original director, I think it's
Robert Zemeckis.
Zemeckis, yeah. And he's saying, no, no, no. And I think he does right.
I think he'll stick to his word.
Because I think if you make a fourth one, and it's not going to be very good, people are not going to like you for it.
Yeah.
And also, there's been rumours about a reboot. And if there's going to be a reboot, which I hope there isn't, I could just see two people playing those characters. And I can see him right now. And I mean, you'll probably agree with me or not. I could just see Tom Holland playing McFly.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's like, as for Doc, I mean, it could be Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. Brilliant. He's a great actor, no matter what.
Just leave them in Marvel. they're known for Marvel. Just leave them there.
Yeah. Mm. But I can just see him play Martin McFly and Tom Holland, and it's not an image I really want to see.
I can actually just picture in my head just now, like what it looks like.
We've also mentioned him for James Bond as well.
We still don't know who the next one's going to be.
No, we don't.
There's been a list since the last film came out, so it's been 4 years since No Time to Die was released.
Well, apparently they said they were looking for an actor who was in the late 20s, early 30s.
Tom Holland would fit.
And
that.
Tom Holland.
Because he's in that age group.
But don't get me wrong, he's a good actor for Spider-Man. And I've seen him in a couple of films where he's a really good actor, but James Bond, no. No.
Did you see him in the Uncharted film?
I watched that the other week, actually. It was on the TV on one of the channels.
Didn't work for me. We should have stuck with someone who was late 30s, early 40s, I think.
Yeah.
And James Bond's not a particularly old
character.
He's always been around the 30s, 40s mark.
Yeah.
Roughly 40, yeah.
On average.
Yeah.
He's never been a young character.
We needed some. I mean, I could have seen Mark Wahlberg actually taking the role of Nathan Drake. I mean, instead of him playing Sully, because we made a younger Sully and all, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's not like the old man that we see in the actual games. I mean, there were rumours that this is before they made Tom Holland, that's me. They were looking at like Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, make it into like a crime.
Like a mob.
Mob type. Crime thing.
Yeah.
Now that
that's their speciality.
That would have been probably an interesting take on it. Probably mixed with a bit. Because there was like mobs and that in the Uncharted universe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could have been an interesting take on it. But whether it would have worked, we don't know. Who knows? But, I think you were too young, as far as I'm concerned, and that's my opinion.
Yeah, like in the games, Nathan Drake seems like he's around, I want to say 35, thereabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't like what Amazon's doing with James Bond right now. I do not like it one bit, and I've got a few quirks I've got to talk about with them. And one is the posters. Now, the new posters that they sent out. What does James Bond always carry with him in his posters?
A gun.
Trademark gun. Walther PPK. Don't get rid of it. You can never get rid of it because it's always there. It's always on his posters, no matter what.
It's always part of the intro when it's looking down the barrel when he turns and shoots it.
Yeah.
And then the red comes down and it goes into the film.
Yeah, but no, we've decided to do something different. We've took the James Bond gun off the posters.
It's an iconic part of his identity.
And it's because we must not offend people.
Yes.
And it's for all those people that don't like guns, apparently.
Well, if you don't like guns, don't watch James Bond.
I mean, it's a spy film.
He's
guaranteed to be some guns, whether it's Bond himself or one of the villains. There's guaranteed to be at least a shooting scene or something with a gun.
Yeah.
So, does not make sense whatsoever. I mean, you showed us the posters during the music break.
Yeah.
And it just looks ridiculous now.
I hate the posters.
I mean, Sean Connery's just got his arms folded just for no reason now.
Yeah, yeah. I hate the posters.
Like he's posing for a photo. Same with Pierce Brosnan as well. They're the two that stood out with me because they just got their arms folded looking like they're posing for a photo, whereas usually the gun's like held upwards like this.
I mean, I could just see the films now. There's going to be a digitally enhanced version where they've taken all the guns, all the action out.
It's just going to be a CGI'd gun where it's not even in his hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll just look awful.
Yeah. So he's not going to kill him with his gun. He's going to kill him with his bare hands or something like that.
What they're going to do with the intros now, is he going to use another weapon like down the barrel or...
Give him like a water gun or a nerf gun or something.
A water gun.
I'll just get out of... I mean, I'll just give him like a cold stare and then it just turns all red. And I mean, yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, Amazon, if you're listening to me, what are you doing?
I hope they change their minds. I hope they change their minds.
Like it's already in production. We've already made it. We've already made the posters.
How can you make a James Bond film without guns, though?
That's like Indiana Jones where he had his hat or a whip.
Or a Jedi without his lightsaber.
Exactly. Yeah. it's so laughable.
It's ridiculous.
Laughable.
But it's a cliche, but if you don't laugh, you'll cry. That literally defines those posters.
Yeah. I mean, we also thought about making a James Bond universe with TV shows and that. No, I don't want that. I mean, we've already spoilt it with... Again, you're not going to believe this. And it's on Amazon Prime already now. And this is their start for their brand, for their Bond series. A game show.
A James Bond
game show. And it's called 007 Road to a Million.
It'll be like a Wheel of... What sort of like concept would it be? Like a Wheel of Fortune type? Or is it like a Weakest Link or...
It's one of those where you travel to different locations, obviously. They're putting you in a James Bond adventure where you've got to answer questions, solve mysteries and...
You can just make a game of that, like a video game.
So, say like... how do I put it? Like realistic games like Hunted or... I'm a Celebrity and stuff like that.
Oh, so it's kind of like in person.
Yeah, right. You got two. You got you're in a team of two. So you got pair. You're in pairs, and you've got to do like something like what James Bond would do. Like say, like you got to climb a top of a crane to get a briefcase. So there's a scorpion that you've got to pick up, and under its belly it's got like a message or something like that, or a spider tarantula.
Yeah.
Now you will not get me touching a tarantula, I tell you that. I hate spiders, I hate creepy crawlers, whatever. But I've watched, they've renewed it for a second series.
Already.
And I've watched the first series. Oh, no.
I'm going to have to watch it just out of interest to see what it's actually like. Just out of curiosity.
I mean, I did not like it. And I mean, but it's like, you just ruined, basically, what... It's not a very good start, is it? And then we're thinking about making, like, spin-offs, like Money Penny Diaries or... Down Q. Can you imagine spins off of Money Penny Diaries of just typing on a desk and you know, reading every report and what?
I imagine we're having another song in a minute, but I wouldn't mind seeing like a Bond origin story. That's one thing. In terms of a spin off, that's one thing I wouldn't mind seeing.
They've already had a Bond origin story though. They've already had that with Casino Royale. Because Casino Royale was the first James Bond mission.
Is this the original or the Daniel Craig one?
The Daniel Craig one. But with Daniel Craig, that was the origin story.
Right, okay.
Of James Bond. Now, whether we go backwards to his childhood, I mean...
That's kind of like when he was like when he was younger than what he was in Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Like a real origin story, like going right from the bottom and
working
his way up to where we are now.
Now that is an interesting take that could possibly work, but I think they've written themselves into a corner now. Well, the last producers, should I say, before Abaddon, they've written themselves into a corner because, and I still hate this ending, and I still hate it to this day, that the spoilers, if you haven't seen the film No Time to Die, that they killed off James Bond. And you've just written yourself into a corner on where to go from here. And it's like, you just basically ended the franchise there.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. And how are you going to do this? I mean, are you going to make James Bond into a code name? Or are you going to make it like it never even happened? They're going to just scrap the Daniel Craig season, which... I don't see why, because it's a great... It was a great... I thought he did great.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
I just didn't like the ending, unfortunately.
I could have done better with that. Like, we could have done it a lot different in a better way, instead of just, you know, killing him off.
Yeah, I did not
like... Why would you kill him off like just like that?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, he's been through everything. I mean, he's been tortured, he's been poisoned, he's been cut to pieces, he's been shot. And what kills him... is an explosion.
Yeah.
And he's been through that many explosions.
I mean, he's got through all these injuries. I mean, he's been, you know, shot and everything, and an explosion. He's avoided explosions as well.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it just, all of a sudden catches up on him.
Yeah.
Like, how's that possible?
I mean, he's been drowned, shot at, almost chopped into fish bait. And they haven't decided to blow him up. So, yeah, again, not happy with the ending, but that's film to you. So, anyway, you've got another song that you want to talk about.
So, this next song is Paradise City by Guns N' Roses.
I want to bleed.
Welcome back. That was Guns N' Roses, Paradise City.
Good song as well. Very good song.
It's a banger, isn't it?
You know, yes. Classic. I mean, absolute classic. You don't get that now, do you? I mean, you don't get as much of that, unfortunately.
No, absolutely not.
And we were just talking about Tramlines, weren't we, earlier? Mm. I mean, who are your hopes for this year?
I'd like to see Def Leppard there myself.
Def Leppard or Arctic Monkeys, or at least a well-known like Sheffield band.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe even like ABC or some of. I mean, we had Human League last year.
Yeah, Human League.
So a well-known Sheffield band would be perfect. Because we had Pulp this year as well.
I mean, they were the most requested ones, Pulp, weren't they?
Yeah.
And
trying to get them for years, I think. Yeah. And then they finally said, let's do it.
And I think, I think we were on... hiatus, weren't we, or something like that. I think we had a break before
they came back. They've done a couple of tours in the last few years. They've come back. They've done Sheffield a couple of times. They've done the arena. And then they did Tramlines. And I think they'll still be going on. They'll go on until they can't anymore. Well, Jarvis Cocker will, especially.
Yeah.
He's still not lost his touch.
No. And I think, it'd be interesting who's going to be this year. I mean, I would love to see Def Leppard or ABC or Arctic Monkeys even, because I heard Arctic Monkeys are going on tour as well.
Oh, really?
Well, that's a rumour.
There's a rumour.
It's a rumour about it. It's not 100% confirmed. But, we'll get more information over that later on.
Well, it's not too... It's usually about December it's announced... the lineups, isn't it?
Yeah, but we always sell tickets earlier on. I mean, and not being funny, I mean, every time after Tramlines is done, that's when we sell tickets anyway. And usually, tickets.
Well, they've been selling them since it finished this year.
Yeah.
So that since July, they've been selling them.
I mean, the tickets just fly by. I mean, and I think it's already close to selling out, isn't it?
Really? I mean, when I was working on the gates. During this year's Tramlines, there's thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, is it like, I think it's 150,000 per weekend on average, because Hillsborough Park's a big place.
Yes.
And there's thousands that come from Friday to Sunday. They might get more than, depending on who's on.
The capacity of a park is around 40 to 50,000.
Yeah.
As for who enters that park, I don't actually know it. So, like I say, it could be that amount. But, and it's about £120-130 a ticket for the weekend.
It is, around there. I remember reading about it and then hearing about it when I was on the gates this year. Well, near the end of the show, isn't it already?
It is.
Once again.
But I mean, I actually interviewed one of the acts actually, and they were called the Sherlocks, and they were one of the main. Headliners,
yeah,
and very nice group as well. Really nice group, and you know what? Next year, hopefully, I could take you two with me, and
I'd like that.
We'll do an interview, and see who we get. I mean, I'm hoping. I would love Def Leppard for an interview if they're doing it, or Arctic Monkeys, or whoever's from Sheffield.
I mean, with Def Leppard, it's during their tour next year, and there's a gap in between one show and another. And the gap is around when Tramlines weekend is. So I'm thinking, are they going to try and sneak them in as part of their tour?
Oh, I hope so.
Because they do festivals as well during the tour. It's not just arenas or stadiums. They do some festivals as well as part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to get some Sheffield bands in here.
Yeah.
I would love to get Human League or ABC and Heaven 70. Anybody from Sheffield, basically. Richard Hawley.
In South Yorkshire, to be honest, because we had the ratings from Rotherham this year as well.
Yeah,
and they had the Saturday show.
They were mint.
So any South Yorkshire band, I'd actually, because it promotes like the local music scene as well, which is very important now.
Well, the main one for me, and this will be the ultimate for Sheffield for me, is Human League, and I've been after them for years. And I'm still after them to this day. So, see what happens from there.
We shall.
Anyway, we're coming here to end the show now, so...
Yep.
Once again, it's flown by.
It has.
Yeah, it has.
And this is goodbye from Chris Donnelly.
Goodbye from Brad Middleton.
Goodbye from Oliver Dixon, and we'll see you next week.
My name is Fruitland, your check is in the mail, Jackson, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.